problem. We're only...
Stay tuned for Bathrobes, Pierre's Broadsides, Thursday's two-hour civil rights on the streets, in the suites, in your ear show. Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 on Thursday, June 6, 2002. And the answer, of course, is we all own the land. We just don't have title to the land. And we're all, of course, are being told we have to rent the land and continue to pay for each breath we take until we decide to get together and act otherwise. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM at beautiful Santa Cruz. We're also streaming on the net at www.microradio.net/FRSC. You can give us a call. We've got a call-in number, and we'll be taking calls. I'll be taking calls for the next 2 hours at 427-3772, 427-FRSC, 3772. If you prefer to reach me off-air, I'm Robert Norris. I'll be doing this show twice a week. I do it on Thursdays from 6 to 8 today, for example, and on Sundays from 10 to 1:30 in the afternoon. But if you want to reach me off-air, you can give a call to the Huff line. That's Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Leave a message, and I'll try to get back to you. You might want to have something broadcast on the air, but you're not quite ready for prime time. You feel like you want to talk to me about it first. Give me a point where I can reach you, contact number, or a way of getting in touch with you, and I'll talk to you. You can also talk to me about coming on the air personally and talking about issues that concern you. My focus is civil rights for poor people, and that's what I'm going to be really looking for. I talk about other things as well, like the drug war, like the city council's dislocation of Hispanic people in the beach flats, like the subversion of the democratic process at city council. But pretty much my focus is on how poor people are treated, particularly people who are outside and, quote, homeless, unquote. So again, the number to call here at the studio, if you want to be talking about any of this stuff, is 427-3772. And if you want to talk to me off air at another time, you can call me at 423-4833. Alternately, if you're interested in a show on free radio, you have a public service announcement, you want to make a donation to this station, 96.3, and we need donations, I'll tell you, you can give a call to the free radio voicemail, and that's at 427-4523, 427-4523. That's really important to us. We don't get grants. We don't get mobile oil donations. We don't get... Mostly what we get is what we put into the pot ourselves, and that's pretty much how this station runs. You hear some great news on this station. I'm not going to do the public radio blather, puff piece stuff. Those of you who listen to the station know what you get, and I encourage you to give something back to us so we can keep it going. And if you yourself want to be a part of this whole process in terms of, let's like having your own show, you see an area that isn't being covered, you think you'd like to cover around the world of events that's happening, or the world of cultural events that isn't being getting out there to the community, give a call to 427-4523. That's the free radio voicemail, and let us know. And we will let you know, and you can get an application form and perhaps become a part of the Free Radio Collective. HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, is a small organization. We wish we were bigger, which concerns itself with stopping such things as gentrification of the downtown, such as the destruction of public spaces on Pacific Avenue, where you may have noticed in the last 6 months, in front of New Leaf Market, they put up a big green fence and handed over a big chunk of the sidewalk there to two marketeers, Alibaba's Cafe and Sushi Now, without any real public hearing on the issue. They had a brief perfunctory one on January 4th. And that, of course, is part of the process of simply moving along a scene of people, young people, hippies, homeless people, that they want to get out of the public eye and, frankly, out of town, is my take on all this. And that's happening now in front of Borders, and there's petitions going around, I understand, out of Jackson's Shoes. I haven't seen the petition. I've asked Candy of Jackson's Shoes, who's, I think, circulating the petition and spoke about it at City Hall, to get back to me. She hasn't done that yet, but I'm hopeful that, well, I don't know if she will or not, but and she's invited to talk about this issue. One of the problems downtown is that merchants unilaterally make these decisions about the problems that exist down there, and then they just start pumping up the volume through the Downtown Association and their cohorts and the Redevelopment Agency, Parks and Rec, and the city staff, and then they go to their the weak sisters, and they're pretty much all or weak brothers on the city council who do this stuff, who kind of truckle under to business pressure, as, for example, Emily Riley led the charge to essentially destroy the right of homeless people to sleep in their vehicles out at the Harvey West. They never had that right in terms of any legal right. That was destroyed by Catherine Byers, Mike Rotkin, the other people who voted down the safe sleeping zones, and also by the people who voted for it way back in the summer of 2000, but didn't vote for it when they had the votes 4 months later after the election, and have kept that issue buried. There is no legal place for homeless people to sleep in Santa Cruz. And what Riley did is she put up these, and you can see them all over the Harvey West, 5 to 7 a.m. no parking signs, which are present in no other part of the city, unless they've been put in surreptitiously, and I haven't heard about them, on the pretext that the streets have to be cleaned every day, which, of course, they don't. It's a way of telling the homeless people that they can't park their vehicles up there, and they don't anymore. I walked up there last night, did a walk through the area. There are, I think there were two or three, where there used to be several dozen people's vehicles up there. And it essentially, without providing any other place, and people's vehicles have been confiscated, people's dogs have been taken to the pound, people's possessions have been taken. This kind of attack on poor people is something which, it's interesting, I would say a majority of the community opposes, and yet you get the situation where the city council not only endorses it, but expands it, as Emily Riley did with these parking signs. And I believe that, I haven't checked this out, I've heard that there is at least a crackdown and perhaps a whole new series of signs out near the Homeless Garden Project, out at the Mission Street Extension area, which is doing the same thing without even the courtesy of a city council vote. And you might we might also add, in violation of the city council's direction, which was given in November and December of 1999, that there should be no parking signs put up until the master transportation study is finished. Now, maybe it has been finished and I haven't heard about it, but as far as I know, it isn't finished, and people can correct me on this, you can call in, and yet the city council is proceeding either to allow, it voted in Emily Riley's anti-homeless no parking signs, and it's allowing the Parks and Rec to put up other no parking signs even without a council vote. Again, I'm I'm not entirely sure of the latest round of signs. I've gotten secondhand reports, so I'd like people to, if anybody can call in and confirm or deny this, I'd like to know this. I do know that, you know, you'd say, well, what's the difference? If there's a camping ban and a sleeping in your vehicles ban and a sleeping ban, period, in Santa Cruz on public property, who cares if they put in no parking signs? And the answer is, the no parking process for dealing with tickets is considerably different than the process you have to deal with camping tickets. There's a political dimension to getting a camping ticket where it's been fairly well publicized among the constituencies of the city council that oppose the sleeping ban that the line of the city council is the Rotkin line. Oh, we don't do this except when there are real problems. Oh, we don't do this except in their areas of high difficulties or if there's a complaint. That's Chief Belcher's line, the police department. But if the city has to start running out and giving out tickets to vehicles or banging on vehicles at night, and people can just ignore the banging and pretend they're not there, and then, of course, they risk having their vehicle broken into, and that's happened by police breaking into vehicles saying, oh, we saw a light in there, and so forth. But it does provide a certain level of protection if you have if the police are forced to charge you with this municipal code under the camping ban because they have to provide for a trial in court. Now, if you're charged, given simply a parking ticket for not being, you know, for leaving your vehicle there between 5 and 7, whether there's anybody in it or not, then you're in a position where you can't really go to court. You have to first post a bail, go through an elaborate administrative process, and it's just much more difficult. You also can't make the necessity defense, as, for example, has been successfully made in Santa Barbara in cases of people sleeping in their vehicles. The Cooper and Ridley cases were very important cases that we discussed at the Right to Sleep Summit here in Santa Cruz in early May. So this new attack on the basic right to live, because the right to sleep is a part of the right to live. It's not the right to carry on, party, crap in the streets, have noise that's disturbing at 3 in the morning. It's the right to sleep. Let's get it real clear. And when Emily Riley of Emily's Good Things to Eat Bakery up there on Mission and Laurel Streets goes after the right to sleep, the community should frankly go after her. They should tell her, what the hell are you doing, particularly when you came to power talking about basic human rights for homeless people, that you signed David Silva's initiative to end the sleeping ban? What is going on? And indeed, a number of people did. There were folks in front of Emily's bakery with a big sign that she votes for laws against the poor. And a number of people whined and complained that this was an attack on a private business, don't you know? Oh, goodness. Apparently, attacking homeless people every night is okay, but when you raise the issue publicly and suggest that people not patronize businesses that support this kind of assault, you're out of line. We have a call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I was wondering...
Can you speak up a bit?
Sure. I was wondering, you know how it's okay for businesses to shelter or harbor 2 or 3 vehicles per night? I'm not exactly sure what the law is about that, or is it just churches?
It's 2 vehicles per night per business parking lot, and it's 3 vehicles per night per church.
So is Ms. Riley putting forth in good faith any of the parking lot space she has available in front of her business for people to camp in night after night?
That's a very good question. The answer to that is I have never heard an individual come to me to say she has. Now, it may be that people do that she does that quietly and that they would be afraid to mention it to me because I am a political opponent of hers on this issue. But I have never heard of that happening. In fact, but I would suggest that you give a call to Emily's. Tell her you have a vehicle and you wonder if you can park in her parking lot for a couple of nights because you need a place to sleep. See what happens, then call me back.
All right.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Anything else you want to say?
No, I'll keep listening and compose my thoughts. Give a call back later.
Much thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to suggest that Emily as a human being is a bad person. I mean, I got the impression she was quite a sweet person and that actually that as a she was a kind of a hope for city council. I mean, she was on task forces like the task force to establish bathrooms, which never happened. Instead, we got 5 porta-potties, 2 of which, possibly 3, have been removed. I heard that 2 have definitely been removed and are not scheduled for return. The third, the one where the man who heroin overdosed was found, and I don't know if that's been removed or not. I heard rumors it was going to be removed. I don't know if that's the case. But I do know we have no real 24-hour bathrooms downtown, and that's a public health situation, folks. I mean, that's a situation that the city council is responsible for, and the business community. Thank you very much. The business community could get together, you know, in a week and a half and deal with this issue if they wanted to, in terms of putting pressure on the city council. I think we could do it together as a group. But the business community, unfortunately, doesn't seem to want to do this. I may be later in the show calling former CEO of the Chamber of Commerce, Michael Schmidt, and ask him for his perspective on this. Michael ran for the Board of Supervisors last year against Whiplash Marty Wormhout and move on in Mark Premack, the guy who essentially spoiled Schmidt's campaign by just sort of entering the race late, taking all his constituency, and now he's running against Wormhout. And I don't know if there's really that much to choose between the two of them, though I see his picture is all very nicely sort of spotlighted in a local gay publication, Manifesto. Premack is pressing for, I believe, preferential contracts with those who provide rights for gay partners, which are benefits for gay partners. I may have that somewhat wrong. That's my casual reading of it, and I support that, of course. What I don't support, however, and I find very cynical, is his complete disregarding of the rights of homeless people, and he's been quite candid about this, even though he's made some proposals about a particular group of homeless people, the Camp Paradise group, the enlarged Camp Paradise before it was swept away by the negligence of the city, by the flood, by the failure of the city to provide alternate sites. Premack has not been, he's essentially said that those who seek the right to sleep, everybody would be allowed to sleep if only activists like myself and others were not ranting and raving about the issue, which, you know, as I've said before, is akin to saying, if only Martin Luther King had shut up, all the blacks would have gotten basic civil rights. I don't in any way consider myself to be of the stature of Martin Luther King, but there are plenty of activists who are talking rather, you know, angrily about the issue. And Martin Luther King spoke passionately about the issue of equal rights for black people. I speak passionately about the rights of equal rights for people who are outside. And the idea that shutting down discussion is a way to get equal rights is, to me, naive at best. And quite frankly, it shows a kind of a mentality that really either doesn't understand the issue, is indifferent to the issue, or actually is covertly or even overtly hostile to the issue of civil rights for homeless people. That's Mark Premack, currently on the city council. I also want to say that Premack is one of the few council members, the only council member, I got to say, unfortunately, who's really raised the issue of what the hell's going on at the Dolphin Lee debacle, now called the Nueva Vista Project in the Beach Flats. This is one for Mark that I have to credit him with. He has talked about and asked about why is the city putting so much money into a project without considering other options? Why is it giving all its money to Mercy Housing California, which has been pushing for this pet project for years, which in a project that essentially, and I don't know if he's made this point, but to me it's clear, dislocates and destroys a Latino community that was paying relatively low rents in the Dolphin Apartments, the Lee Apartments, and the Rex Court Apartments. All those are either demolished or now owned by Mercy Housing California. And the plan is to go ahead and build this fancy housing project that is subsidized for some, but actually provides less housing than they're destroying. Better housing, yeah, but less housing. Instead of buying vacant property and building on vacant property, they destroy existing housing and build on it. And they do so without consulting the community. They had no community area project committee. They didn't have no project area committee. When the tenants own committee, the relocation advisory committee said, we don't want to do this until you guarantee that everybody who gets kicked out will be able to come back. Everyone who's relocated will be able to be relocated for the period of time that the building happens. City Council would not sign individual contracts to that effect. They kept reciting like a litany, oh, state law guarantees that, state law guarantees that. And we kept saying, including SCAN and other groups, the Green Party, if it's guaranteed, then you should have no problem putting it into a contract. It wasn't guaranteed. It isn't guaranteed. More than half that community, I think more like two-thirds of the families and the people have all left. Yeah, some of them were bought off with $250. And you say, that's a lot of money to give to, you know, an individual to relocate. Yeah, but it doesn't pay for rent for the next 4 years. And they would have been able to pay for their own rent for the next 4 years. Instead, they're being told they have to leave town. And Mercy Housing now has the power, more power, to decide who will go into these housing facilities. And we have less housing for more money. We have more regulations by a group of people that has been sued in court already for discriminating against disabled people. We've had Eleanor and Foresta on talking about how she, with Attorney Ed Fry, were able to successfully stop retaliatory eviction in her apartment over at the Sycamore Commons, run again by Mercy Housing California. We don't have an open process at City Council. These board meetings that they meet at, the Mercy Housing, are closed, even though our public dollars fund them. It's a scandal, and it's one which Premack has talked a little bit about, but not enough about, and I think when he saw he had no support, he kind of subsided on. Premack is also a man who does not return his phone calls. I've asked activists to sort of intervene. Paul Wagner, who is quite an articulate fellow. You've heard some of his stuff talking about affordable housing and ADUs, accessory dwelling units, here on Free Radio on my show, and talking about the Clearview Court situation where the city is considering gutting rent control for Clearview Court and for the other rent recreational vehicle park, the De Anza. He came on and talked quite eloquently about what he thought needed to be done, and he's been able to work with Mark Premack and Scott Kennedy. He had some glowing words for those guys, and I said, you know, get them to return their calls. They're public servants. They're supposed to respond to public inquiries. I mean, Chris Crone, who I am suing in court. Tomorrow I go to court, by the way, folks. Federal court, 9 a.m., San Jose, if you're interested. The court of Judge White. I'll be there. So will my attorney. We'll be fighting for the right to stop harassment at City Council against unpopular speakers the City Council doesn't like. But even Crone, who is the sort of the main person in the law that I'm suing, well, I'm suing all seven of the City Council members, the entire City Council, as well as Sergeant Butchie Baker, who arrested me for the March 12th arrest when I observed Mayor Crone cutting off a speaker, Susan Zeman, who is an outspoken activist in the community, just wanted her 3 minutes at oral communication. Time hadn't ended, but Crone mistakenly cut her off. She tried to speak, and he just told her, sit down, or in essence, we'll throw you out. And as she walked back, I raised my arm in a, boy, aren't you a bunch of fascists, salute. And I said nothing, but I raised it silently. And Crone, because Fitzmaurice asked him to, had me arrested, taken to jail, thrown there for 5.5 hours, and charged with disrupting a public assembly. Charges were dropped. But the intimidation factor is high at City Council, and that's the point of tomorrow. But Crone, tomorrow's court hearing, but Crone has recently, for example, responded to inquiries he hasn't responded to inquiries that I've made that I'm hoping he's going to respond to, but he's returned a phone call. And I suppose I should be extremely grateful. I'm not so much grateful. I note it's the mayor's responsibility, it's the City Council's responsibility to return phone calls from the citizenry. That's something Mark Premack and, for another, Keith Sugar have never done in their term of office toward me. And you might say, well, you know, you're one of these wild and crazy radicals. You call them nasty names. I don't think that talking about the record of a City Council member is calling them nasty names. I think it does present a nasty picture, but that's not my problem. That's all of our problems, and that's their problem. That's what they're doing, and the community needs to be informed about it. And they need to continue to act as responsible people, and if they're so thin-skinned that they can't deal with that, they should not be in office. And we should not send them to office, and certainly not to higher office like Mark Premack is seeking in November. Now, the problem here is that you have someone even worse who's already in office, Marty Wormhout. Here's a woman who also, she actually does return phone calls. So, you know, we have to give her that. She doesn't have anything to say when she returns her phone calls, but she does return phone calls. I've been trying for years to get Wormhout to address homeless civil rights issues, and she just doesn't do it. She was an adamant anti-homeless person on the City Council when she was mayor. She actually had a homeless woman arrested for sleeping on her porch because the woman needed to get more blankets for the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program on the coldest night of the year in February of 1989. That was Fran Rizzo. Wormhout is notorious. She actually, she and Laird, who's running for city council and was mayor, running for state assembly, and was mayor before her, these two individuals, again, part of the sort of power elite in Santa Cruz, who style themselves progressives, but on the civil rights for the homeless issues are anything but. They have helped defeat any reform of the sleeping ban. It's become sort of holy writ with them. You don't allow basic civil rights to be restored to homeless people because it's going to ruin the tourist trade and, I don't know, offend the large developers. I'm not sure what their rationale is because they're not open about it. And it's not a position that you really can openly take with any kind of credibility in terms of, particularly if you call yourself a progressive. You know, and that, of course, has been the problem with the Green Party. You know, the Green Party is former, well, not former mayor, current city council member, and I guess former mayor Tim Fitzmaurice, the poetic instructor from UCSC, who has given us these oppressive decorum rules at city council, who has supported, again, Riley's anti-homeless signs and has refused to deal with the sleeping ban and the blanket ban and the camping ban and abusive police behavior toward homeless people, who has refused to act on any of the Homeless Issues Task Force recommendations in any meaningful and effective way. This guy is a Green Party member, a card-carrying Green Party member, and the Green Party still hasn't repudiated him. They still haven't come up to city council as a group and said, Fitzmaurice, go join another party. It's like Phil Oakes said to Richard Nixon, Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. You know, Tim Fitzmaurice, find yourself another party to cover your ass. It just hasn't happened.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, I had a general question.
Mm-hmm.
Do unhitched coach trailers have the same limited rights as automobiles?
In what sense?
Can they be parked on the street where there isn't a no parking sign? Could they be parked in a parking lot, in a business parking lot, for be one of those two or three cars?
It's a good question. I don't have the answer. I suspect the answer has to do with there's probably a 72-hour
mm-hmm.
limit. But again, there may be a special provision for vehicles that don't have mobility attached. You also have, I mean, you're assuming it's properly registered with the license plate and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to send you there, but if you don't want to go to the law library or, some sort of legal resource, you probably should call the city police department or the California Highway Patrol and ask them. That's your situation, is it?
Yeah,
I mean, often you can slip under the radar for a while, and
mm-hmm.
you may get warned, but there's always the danger that some hot-dogging, local cop is going to give you a ticket, and at 3 a.m, and that's
mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that. It happens with less regularity than it did several years ago, although I'm hearing of more cases in the last couple months.
Yeah.
What do you hear?
Well, actually, it just became my situation today,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not too well-informed, but... But yeah, just looking around for a spot today was a lot more difficult than I had visualized it would be based on my, just based on what I've seen before.
I mean, ideally, what you want to do is find a piece of private property.
Totally.
And do that. I mean, we have the Fitzmaurice three nights in a driveway, then out of town law, which says even in a driveway, you can, even with the permission of the owner and the tenant, you cannot stay there for more than three nights per month. Although, in practice, I have not heard of ticketing under this provision where, in other words, it may be that if nobody complains,
mm-hmm.
that they're just going to ignore it. And that probably is what's happening because I haven't heard of a lot of ticketing under that law. But, it's the idea that you don't have any rights is really kind of a daunting one,
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, thanks for the info.
Sure.
Only one reason that president raises the question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem. For only one reason a president raises the question, who owns the land? who owns the...
It's about 9:40 a.m. on June 3rd, Monday. I'm approaching Highway 17 and the where it becomes Ocean Street. Officer Perry's car is parked on the sidewalk. He appears to be giving a citation to a person with standing at the off-ramp. Well, it's the ramp he uses. You head toward Plymouth Street if you're going north. Going south on Highway 1. There's a dog with a backpack. And Officer Perry is here. Hi, how's it going? You get a ticket? That's it?
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Did he warn you before he gave you a ticket?
Nobody did. I've been doing it before. Other people got tickets.
Yeah.
I don't remember being around anybody that got a ticket.
Right, yeah. This is Officer Perry's bread and butter. It's 225. It's listing within 500 feet of a freeway with... Yeah. Hey, Officer Perry. Good work. Idiot. Sorry. Is this you're Jeanette? I'm Robert. This is for Free Radio Santa Cruz. What's your dog's name?
Double O.
Hey, Double O. How long you been doing this criminal behavior here?
For about a year and a half.
And you've been selling drugs, assaulting people?
No.
What were you doing here before Officer Perry came up?
Sitting here in front of the sign.
What did the sign say?
Little help, please.
And what did Officer Perry do with the sign?
Nothing, he just wanted to look at it.
He just wanted to look at it, so the sign is still here.
Yeah, I got it.
You got the sign?
Yeah, I still have it.
And do you get much help here at this intersection?
Yeah.
And what did Officer Perry tell you?
He told me I can't be flying a sign here.
Did he give you some other place you could fly a sign?
No.
Did he make a suggestion?
No, he just told me that you know better than to do it here.
And in fact, you say you've been, has he warned you before about
it? He hasn't warned me, but he said I've been present when other people's been warned. But...
Did he indicate that you constituted any kind of a traffic hazard or that anybody had complained or...
No, he just told me that I know better. I shouldn't be flying a sign here.
You know better. Well, you know, I see. How long you been in Santa Cruz?
About 10 years.
And have you been hassled recently for this, or...?
Yeah, I got hassled over there on Morrissey Street.
And by the same officer or a different officer?
No, a different officer.
And did you get a ticket or did you get told to move?
No, he gave me a warning. That's why I came back over here.
To keep you moving around. It gives you good exercise.
Yeah.
So do you think this ticketing has increased recently?
Yeah. I think they're picking on the homeless people.
Have you yourself, in the last week, how many times have you been approached?
I usually get up and leave when I see the cops. He snuck up on me, though.
Hey, 007 looks like he's on, is it 007?
Yeah.
He's on guard. Okay, again, this is, I guess, 22570, although I can't quite read the writing. It's listing within 500 feet of the freeway. I encourage you, if you want to deal with this ticket, disqualify Referee Mulligan. That's the thing you want to do. Normally, all these tickets go into Referee Mulligan's court in the basement. What you do is you go to the window of the basement, and you say, I want another judge than Referee Mulligan, and they'll give you a date in another court.
Right.
Doesn't mean you'll get a lot better deal, but Mulligan, you're sure to go down.
Okay.
He believes police accounts.
I need to write that down.
Okay. What again?
I said, that's another reason why I'm flying a sign, so I can pay off my other fines.
What kind of brother, serious criminal behavior? Like?
Yeah, I got drunk one night and attacked some girl, and I didn't even know I did it, so I guess I did assault somebody once.
Right, but is that what you're normally paying off, or are there other, you haven't?
And, I forgot what my other one was about. it might have been drinking in public, I'm not sure.
Thank you. Are you living alone, or are you living in company?
Well, I live with my friends and wherever I can find a place
outside.
Yeah.
Have you been hassled for camping or sleeping?
Yeah, one time I was camping over there at Shooter's Alley, and RoboCop came and tore up everybody's tents and messed up everybody's camp.
And how long ago was that?
Last summer.
Last summer.
Any attitude to Camp Paradise, what they were doing?
Oh, Camp Paradise, I got a story to tell you about that.
Tell me about that.
Larry Templeton hit me in the face and broke my cheekbone whenever I was asleep. But I didn't have any witnesses. Oh, that's what my other find is. I sliced the tires on Larry's truck because he hit me in the face with a tree limb. He called the police on me, so that's why I sliced his tires. Well, I mean, I sliced his tires because he hit me. And then the police gave me a ticket for slicing his tires, but they didn't do nothing to Larry.
You knew it was him because you saw him and they...
Yeah, he even said, it's me, Larry. And I jumped up and he spit in my face, and then he hit me in the face with a tree limb.
And why did this happen, do you think?
Because he told me to leave his camp, and I told him I didn't have to leave, that he didn't own it. Because I was camping there before he had Camp Paradise.
And why did he want you to leave his camp?
Because he said this is a drug and alcohol-free place where nobody does drinks and all that, but he does drugs his own self.
And you had been drinking, or?
Yeah, I was passed out on booze.
Right now, however, you're quite sober.
Yeah, I'm sober right now for the moment.
Take it. Thank you. And again, your name is?
Jeanette.
Thanks, Jeanette. Is it okay if I play this on the air?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, Larry Templeton has a different account of this, as do some other members of Camp Paradise. This incident happened many, many months ago, and there's a disputed account here. I'm only playing it because this is the account of one individual who is homeless. I'm not saying it's necessarily the truth. It's her story. But I think individuals have a right to have their stories told, and that's what I'm doing here. There actually has been some significant changes in the Camp Paradise situation in the last few weeks. Camp Paradise, of course, hasn't been what it used to be since December when, as I mentioned before, the floods washed it away. Some Camp Paradise people feel this was actually intentionally done by manipulation of the dams upriver. I have no idea. I'm always skeptical of conspiracy theories, but I kind of wonder when, you know, relatively solid middle-class citizens suggest it may well have happened that way, too. I don't know. In any case, Camp Paradise hasn't been the same. It used to be on public land where people could come and were actually sent there by the Homeless Services Center. And indeed, there were numerous people who left the camp and had some serious charges against Larry in terms of how he performed and how he dealt with them. And the camp was run in an authoritarian manner. What Larry said went. There wasn't really, for a time I believe there was a council, but it was sort of more of a, didn't really last long, and it was pretty much an authoritarian deal. In the months that followed, the camp became much smaller and moved through the state parks, finally out to a church in Aptos, where I think about 12 or 15 of them were camped, and there was a further division in the camp, again, a disagreement as to how they didn't like the way that things were pretty much done by one-man rule, as the critics described it. And there was a sort of a rebellion, and a number of people walked out. Now there essentially are a second camp is formed, and they're both being covered by the Santa Cruz Service Corps, which is I think this is a very positive development. I was at their meeting last night. They're continuing to take work orders from the community, do work, and perform public services for money in hopes, again, of getting out of homelessness and indeed performing useful services in the community, not on a charity basis, but, you know, simply to make money, but also, you know, in these circumstances, you make money by doing useful things. And this, the other group of campers is now up at Henry Cowell. They're sort of forming their own group, but again, there is some, I think, you know, friction and some residual hostility. There's still a willingness to work together between and under this general organization, the Santa Cruz Service Corps, and the area people who may not be able to live with each other with the same kind of because they disagree with how, you know, the internal structure of a particular camp is run yet. And I think this is healthy. They've moved to another area, and they are beginning their own approach. And those who are still comfortable with Larry's leadership are staying there. And that's continued to work last night. And they have, I guess they voted in bylaws for the Santa Cruz Service Corps. I can never stand this bylaws stuff, but I guess it's necessary in the great grand game of getting grants and getting city council recognition in terms of this, what I regard as largely bogus and token Conservation Corps and the Parks Amendment to the camping ban that happened earlier this spring. There still hasn't been any opening of the parks to groups such as the Santa Cruz Service Corps, even who have insurance and have all the requirements, that they can meet all the requirements that are in the ordinance, clean up the camp, the parks, and then stay there for 2 weeks as they do it. And we're talking about the large parks like San Lorenzo, Benchlands, Lower De La Vega, and Harvey West. And the Czar Jim Lang of Parks and Rec was supposed to be working this out with them, and one of the apparently sticking points, according to activist Tom Shaver, was that the Santa Cruz Service Corps hadn't got its bylaws finalized. Well, apparently last night they did. So now, Czar Lang, there should be no further problems. Let's get those parks open to homeless people who are willing to work in them and use them, and who the Santa Cruz Service Corps is able to cover, which isn't many people. I mean, we're talking a couple dozen people, but that's a couple dozen who wouldn't otherwise be covered, and that's important. So as I said, apparently the situation with Camp Paradise and the Santa Cruz Service Corps is it's continuing to serve a broader number of people and to afford a shelter for people of different temperaments, so that everyone doesn't have to agree with one person. And alternately, that person is going to be able to continue, those who do agree with him can continue to work in the way they've been working. And I'm hoping that's going to work out. And anybody who wants to call in and talk about these issues, I want to interrupt myself, feel free to do so. 427-3772. You're tuned to 96.3 FM here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I am the notorious Bathrobes Pierre, also known as Robert Norris. And I have another hour and 15 minutes in which to babble on. You can babble with me here in Babylon. So let's do it together. 427-3772 is the number to call if you want to tune in. We stream at the net, again, www.microradio.net/FRSC. And we will be happy to hear from you from out of the area. You can tell us what's going on in different cities and different places. So I'm going to play a few more interviews. I've got endless interviews from the streets. I think that that's probably, in some respects, of greater interest than the commentary that I give you. It's because most of you listen know what I have to say. I've kind of said it many times, and I'll probably say it many times again, and for those of you who are new. And I also try to keep folks up to date. We have budget hearings coming up, by the way, next week. Linda LeMaster was good enough to send me the budget. She's the chair of the Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, as well as being a head of Housing Now in Santa Cruz, and has done some good work, as well as being the chair of the Homeless Issues Working Group. I think they have a chair these days, and they're not meeting as regularly as we would hope, but that's the Green Party group, which is supposed to be getting the Fitzmaurice accountability rules in order and dealing with the issue of the sleeping ban and so forth. And some small things have been done, and Linda's got a great story out in this month's Green Press, which you can find in the middle of the Santa Cruz Comic News. Get it fast, because I understand rumor has it that the Santa Cruz Comic News is going to cost a buck pretty quick. They're going to put up their little racks all over town, like the Alarm, in which you pay 50 cents for a would-be scan newsletter. Ah, what am I saying? Yeah, I mean, that's the criticism I made of the Alarm to some alarmists, so to speak. I wish they were more alarmist, actually. I'd like to see a little, hear some alarms rather than articles which seem to me to be pretty tepid, pretty tired, pretty much, condensed versions of national articles you might find, or stuff that doesn't really go directly to the activists. Now, that's not entirely true. There's some sort of hopeful signs in the Alarm, which is coming, I guess it's fourth issue will be coming out tomorrow on the stands. I know that there's some people who strongly disagree with me and feel that I am, impossible to work with or alienate people by these kinds of sentiments. I was attacking Sandy Brown, who is quoted in this last week's alarm as a source at the Citizens Police Review Board, former Citizens Police Review Board member. Those of you listening to my show regularly know why I have attacked Sandy Brown, not just because I, you know, some personal problem I have with her or, you know, some, you know, personality difference. No, this is an individual who has taken a variety of positions. She is a, she's sort of a high-level individual in the, she's a campaign manager for one of the council candidates. She gets appointed to commissions, and she was on the Citizens Police Review Board and essentially blocked a position for 2 years and wouldn't meet with members of the public. In terms, at least she wouldn't meet with me or people I was associated with, wouldn't introduce items that involved real change. For her first year on the board, she tried to do some things. And then when she saw it couldn't be done, she should have abandoned her position and turned it over to someone else or gone public with these issues. And I guess to some extent in this alarm story, she makes some pungent and important criticisms of the Citizens Police Review Board. But she herself essentially sat on that board and refused to move until her absentee level became so high that she had to leave. I mean, that was really the bottom line, as I understood it. And if this were her only fault, I wouldn't have mentioned her to the extent that I do, but she is also one of the inner circle of the SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network group, the group that gives us the wonderful city council candidates we have every election time. He likes to stamp progressive on their foreheads and then disappear into the gopher holes the rest of the time. She was responsible for the killing of the housing committee and SCAN that actually tried to fight for the rights of Latino residents. She was responsible for the housing committee that tried to end the sleeping ban. She doesn't believe in a democratic process in SCAN. At least at that time she didn't. That was around the fall of 2000, and I don't think things have changed. At least I'm not aware they have. And if Sandy Brown or one of her supporters would like to call in and describe how she and Bernice Belton and the others who took this action to destroy essentially a Latino community in order to support Tim Fitzmaurice, Mercy Housing, C.L. Cirillo, the Redevelopment Agency, and those folks, please call in. I'd love to have a conversation with you. And this is not a personality attack. And if I'm going to have to work with these people and lick their butts, I'll tell you that ain't going to happen. And if some people call this a reason why, quote, no one will work with you, well, then I guess I'll have to keep working alone. But I don't think I am working alone. I think that a lot of people out there agree with what I'm saying. And I know that some people get short-tempered with me. I think they fly off the handle. I'm not naming any names because I'm not going to get into personal fights here on the air. But I frankly was rather disappointed with the caller who called in last week and launched a massive series of personal attacks on me. Rather than deal with the issues. He didn't want to deal with the issues. He didn't have the information to deal with the issues. And I find that not a very good thing. So I think I would really encourage you to call in and deal with the issues. And if you need to attack me, fine, you can attack me. I mean, I'm used to it. I mean, I never quite get used to it in the way that I should, perhaps, because I'm thin-skinned, too, and I admit it. But getting back to the issue that I originally wanted to bring up, which is the budget. I got this email from Linda LeMaster, and that's where this entire long tirade began, and we got back to the beginning of it. There's a budget review meeting Wednesday, June 12th. I guess that's in 5 days, Council Chambers, and that's at 1 p.m. There's going to be an introduction by City Manager and King, Richard Wilson. That's the guy who really runs the city, and he's sort of City Manager for life, and he's the highest paid salary member. He gets, $12,000 to $13,000 a month. Which I guess was about $150,000, $160,000 a year. And then we get a budget review, Commission for the Prevention of Violence Against Women, CPRB, city attorney, city clerk, insurance, finance and information technology, debt service, at 3 o'clock, community promotion, conference and visitors council, cultural council, Native Animal Rescue, Animal Control, Social Services Programs. At 5 o'clock, there's a recess. And then on the 13th, the next day, Thursday of next week, 1 p.m. again, the Library, Parks and Rec, Central Maintenance Support Services, of course, the all-essential golf course, Planning and Community Development, CBDG, that's Community Development Block Grant Funds, Home Investment Partnership, public works, street maintenance, traffic engineering, refuse, wastewater, parking, redevelopment, etc., etc. And it looks like that's going to go on through the afternoon until 6. They'll have a dinner break, and then at 7, police budget. That's 7 o'clock Thursday night in the middle of my show, and the fire department. And then on Friday, they'll have unfinished items starting at 9 a.m. And you will be allowed to address these items. That's what this agenda says. What they do to you when you walk up there, God only knows, but don't be intimidated. Bring a lot of friends. Bring a video camera. Bring a witness, or just bring yourself. If they don't know who you are, they may show you the usual amount of respect until you start saying things that they don't like. But these budget hearings are important because I'm assuming they're televised, and it's not clear from this whether they are, but I'm going to assume they are. If they're not, if somebody out there can find out if they're televised, let me know by Sunday, and we should do an immediate call-in demanding that they be televised, because this is where people decide how the money is spent. And, you know, if, as you know, the Deep Throat said to the researchers who overturned President Nixon in the early 70s, follow the money. That's what you got to do here at the City Council. The word is that the police are going to try to keep all their money and gut the social services. I mean, I wouldn't have been happy just with the kinds of token and crony-like social services the City Council has at the moment, but cutting them and gutting them further is not going to help us either. So it's important to come to these hearings and talk about what the real needs are. And I talk about this not because I think, I say we should all talk about this, not because the City Council so much is listening, but because it's a conversation the community has to have. And any place where you can actually get out on the television and speak about these issues is a place, well, one place to begin. That's why, even though I'm critical of the Alarm Weekly, it's good that the Alarm is there, and I'm hoping it improves. I wrote a letter to the Alarm, which I understand is going to be printed tomorrow. It's my take on the Citizens Police Review Board. I'm not going to call it a puff piece, but it's very mild and insufficient criticism and kind of a misguided article that they have. But at least it's about a local issue. You know, that's been one of my main criticisms. You don't get much discussion, real discussion of local issues, unless it's sort of along politically correct lines. You don't. One way to tell if this newspaper has any guts is to see if they criticize any city council members by name or any city officials by name. If they don't, you know, toss it away, man. It's dog food. I mean, that's the way I look at it. If you are billing yourself as an alternate newspaper, you've got to criticize people by name and hold them accountable for their actions. And if the staff isn't doing that, then what the hell are they doing putting out an alternative newspaper? I mean, come on. Let's get real. This is an alternative radio station, and we do criticize these fuckers by name, and we sometimes use language that isn't the nicest. I gotta say that. And that's how it is, because sometimes the language reflects the reality, and the reality is not a pretty one. And that's what I'm doing here on my show. That's Bathrop Spears Broadsides at 96.3 FM, and that's what you're tuned to. Give a call, 427-3772.
I don't exaggerate.
I said that whenever Larry came to hit me, Dirt Clod was present, and he had like 10 other people with him so he could hit me with a tree limb, because he knows that I would hit him back.
And there you have it. How you been? How you doing otherwise?
I'm okay. My face is still cracked, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Right here at the Homeless Service Center at about 10:30, talking to Billy Starr. Billy with two guitars, was it three guitars? Hat, backpack, and also helping me retrieve a piece of paper from the ground that I dropped. You had an incident, a couple weeks ago where you got a ticket for what?
Eating a pigeon a bagel.
Where was that?
In front of the roasting company.
About what time of day was it?
About 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30, something like that.
And was this done because a citizen filed a complaint or because an officer decided
to... No, apparently her and one other female officer, there's two female officers together with some sergeant, I didn't catch his name,
Sergeant Baker?
Kind of
short squat that
put him.
Probably Sergeant Baker.
Yeah, he came in later, but I told them that it was totally ludicrous that they were singling me out and giving me a ticket for, you know, feeding a pigeon a bagel, you know, and to my knowledge, there's no such law against doing such things in Santa
Cruz. A ticket for littering?
Yeah, that's what they called it, littering.
What did they say? Do you know the name of the person who gave you a ticket?
Somebody told me it was Hoy. I don't know. I've been gone for a few years, so I'm not familiar.
Hoy, Officer Hoy, or CSO, or police officer?
Police officer.
Yeah. And did she say anything to you?
It was starting to rain, and she wanted me to stand out in the rain while she was filling out the ticket. She goes, well, I'm standing out in the rain. I said, well, you can stand out in the rain if you want to. I'm going for cover, you know. So I took my guitars and put them in underneath the edge, inside the roasting company so they wouldn't get wet. And then at first they was so upset I felt like tearing the ticket up, you know. I didn't like throw it all over the street or anything. I had this bagel I was eating that was probably a week old. It was pretty stale, and I ate about half of it, and then I broke the other half apart and half and threw it into a planter box.
What were the birds there?
No, because it just started to rain, you know, so the birds had all flown off, you know, but I figured they'd eat it before the day's out.
And what did she say to you, Officer Hoy, as she gave you this ticket?
Well, apparently she'd been waiting, her and the other officer had been waiting for an excuse to pounce on me. And
why do you say that?
Because they were standing there for quite some time, eyeballing the general situation, you know. And
had you been there playing the guitar, or had you been?
I had been playing street music, but it started to rain, so I packed up my stuff and I was about to leave anyway. And the bagel was like stale, so
I approached you earlier.
On several occasions, what's that sergeant's name?
Sergeant Baker?
Yeah. He made comments about I had a box with like a bedroll in it that was close to the bike rack, and he said something about it wasn't a storage unit, that it was a bike rack, and he said he was going to haul all my stuff up if I didn't move it off the street or whatever.
But he didn't do that?
No, just more wool on the poor stuff.
Did these two officers on that particular occasion say anything else to you?
No, I guess they called in the sergeant for backup when I asked them who their field supervisor was.
Did they say that they'd gotten a complaint, or?
No, they didn't say anything about getting a complaint because they were standing there watching me, you know. It's just I wasn't aware that it was illegal to feed bagels to the birds, you know.
We could contact the Audubon Society.
Yeah, well, that's ironic. I've been a member of the Audubon Society before, and I've taken care of, like, wounded eagles and hawks, and, you know, I like birds, but
what about bird brands?
That's another subject that falls into the human category.
When did all this happen? A couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
You got your ticket?
Yeah, somewhere.
Okay. Any other hassle since then?
Let's see. About an hour or two after that incident, it was still kind of drizzling that day, and I was looking for a place to play music out of the rain, so I went to where the Woolworths used to be, that building, and some Barney downtown Hulse guy, I didn't catch his name, kind of short silver-haired guy, kind of thin. I didn't catch his name, but he was being kind of a butthole.
What did he do?
He just basically ran me off and told me I couldn't play music there, and he wanted me to go out and play it in the rain.
Did he give you a reason why you couldn't play music there?
He said somebody was complaining about the noise, which was ridiculous. There was all kinds of noise going on that day.
You don't think that someone had actually complained? Or you think they complained that it was an illegitimate complaint?
I would tend to believe it was an illegitimate complaint. I think he was acting out of his own prejudice.
Now, are you sleeping indoors or out?
Outdoors.
Any hassles for sleeping?
No, not so far. Of course, I try to be as stealthy as possible when it comes to sleeping.
Is anybody getting tickets for sleeping?
Well, I've noticed a lot of vehicle people getting tickets.
For?
Huh?
For what?
Just like parking. I noticed several tickets and $100 fine notices on vehicles next to the woman.
72 hours, that's for more than 72
yeah,
hours.
Yeah, you know, like over there by the woman's homeless garden and stuff like that.
There's been an attack, I understand, up there on people in vehicles. There's also, of course, numerous signs that have been here for now almost a year, more than half a year. Comparable to Emily Riley, 5 to 7 a.m. parking prohibited in the Harvey West area. Seems to have driven out most homeless vehicles. I just drove around there today.
My daughter's mom had three of her vehicles towed.
What's your daughter's mom's name?
Andrea Bo.
She here in Santa Cruz?
Yes.
And when did these towings happen?
I don't know exactly when the dates occurred. I don't think they towed them all at the same
recently
time.
Recently?
Well, I've been gone for 2 years, so it's been since then. I gave her a Chrysler New Yorker, and they towed that, and they apparently towed her bus and one of her vans.
Because of unpaid fines or
stuff like that? Yeah.
Nasty. Thank you, Billy. Anything else?
I noticed the article in the newspaper a while back complaining about
the attack on people downtown.
Yeah. You know, I think it's kind of a caste system class war against our whole generation, because all those young people there, we spend money there every single day on food, coffee, whatever. We might not come in there and buy a Lamborghini every day of the week, but you know, in terms of just basic things that anybody else would buy in Santa Cruz, you know, whether it's clothing or food or coffee or whatever, I think
it's unfair.
Yeah, I think it's nothing new. It's been going on as long as I can remember. It's just
a little old, actually, kind of against
our whole generation. I think that we're supposed to spend our money and not be seen and not be heard in the meantime.
Thank you. We're here at the Monday City Council meeting, another extraordinary meeting at 9:30 in the morning, talking to activist Paul Wagner. That's Affordable Housing Advocates. Hey, Paul.
Good morning, Robert.
And you're waiting for your two items, which is the ADU, when's it going to come up again?